الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل واجعل الخير على أيدينا ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد, Alhamdulillah, we're continuing in our classes on some of the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, and today we have a very, very important subject, and this is regarding the center of the Muslim community, the Masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the high regard and the importance of it being founded on sincerity and being founded on taqwa and the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we'll read a few ayahs. These are from Surah At-Tawbah that talk about the building of the Masajid of Allah, and then we'll go over some of the meanings of these ayat bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah willing, inshallah.
ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So these are two beautiful ayahs from Surah At-Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله. It is not befitting, it is not appropriate that the mushrikeen, those who commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they build. Ya'maru, it means to build or to occupy and to fill with the ibadah, the masajid of Allah, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahidina ala anfusihim bil kufr. Because their actions, they openly show disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahideen, they bear witness to the disbelief. They bear witness to disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shahideen ala anfusihim bil kufr, ulaika habitat a'maluhum. They are the ones who lost all of their good deeds. Their good deeds have been lost. Wa fin narihum khalidun. And they shall live forever in the fire. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. Only those who believe in Allah in the last day, they should be the ones who build and occupy the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأقام الصلاة, and they establish the prayer and they give the zakah. وآت الزكاة ولم يخشى إلا الله, and they only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no one else as a partner. فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُحْتَدِينَ. So perhaps they will be the ones who will be on right guidance. So we see in this beautiful ayahs a number of important lessons about building the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us go together and reflect on these ayahs and see some of the lessons that we can learn from them bi-idhnillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا. يَعْمُرُوا in Arabic, the word يَعْمَرُوا, it means to build something. عِمَارَ, it means a building, to physically build something, a structure. And this is the physical meaning, or the physical understanding of the word يَعْمَرُوا. But also يَعْمُرُوا, it means to fill something with life, with activity, civilization. So the meaning is also spiritual. That is, that those who build the houses of Allah, it is not appropriate that they be mushrikeen. Those who physically build the houses of Allah, it is not appropriate that they commit shirk with Allah. Because they're building a house for the sake of Allah, and yet at the same time they bear witness that they're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're worshipping others besides Allah. They're not sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not appropriate. It is not appropriate for such people to build the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, ya'muru, it means to fill with activity, with life. Imara, it can have this meaning as well. And likewise, it's not appropriate for those who have other intentions to attend the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they come to the house of Allah and they have shirk with Allah, the shirk, as you know, shirk al-akbar and shirk al-asghar. Shirk al-akbar is if they're worshipping others besides Allah. Then it's not appropriate that they come to the house of Allah to worship. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ The masajid are built for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not appropriate that these people, they come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what will help us understand this ayah is the sabab al-nazul. The reason why this ayah was revealed was that there was, during the battle of Badr, Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, he was not a Muslim at that time. He was actually a mushrik. And he came and he fought against the Prophet ﷺ in the battle of Badr. And he was captured along with a number of other elite members of the Quraysh tribe. And so Ali ibn Abi Talib, he went to Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Assalamu alaikum, he said, how can you come and fight the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can you fight against him and he's your nephew, he's your relative? So you're fighting against not only the Prophet of Allah, but you're also fighting against your own nephew, which is cutting the ties of kinship. So Abbas, he was captured during the Battle of Badr, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, he began to criticize him. He said, how can you do this? And Abbas, he responded back to Ali, and he said that, yes, he said, you're mentioning all of my bad traits, but what about our good traits? What about the good things that the Quraysh do? So Ali, he said, what are the good things that you do? You fought against the Messenger of Allah. What kind of good things could you be doing? And Abbas, he responded, and he said, we take care of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We provide water for the pilgrims. We put covering over the Kaaba, and we protect the house of Allah. So these are many good deeds that we're doing. So why are you only criticizing us for fighting against the Prophet of Allah azza wa jalla, but we do many other good things? So this ayah was revealed at that time. This ayah was revealed saying, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ Yes, the Quraysh, they built the house of Allah and they took care of the pilgrims, but it was not appropriate for them to do that. Why? Because شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ Their actions are betraying their intentions. They say, we want to protect the house of Allah. We want to build the Kaaba, and we want to take care of it. Yet, they're fighting against the Messenger of Allah. They're fighting against the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're committing shirk with Allah. The house of Allah, the Kaaba, was dedicated to the worship of Allah alone. And as you know, there were 360 idols that were placed all around the Kaaba. So Allah revealed this ayah, criticizing the Quraysh in their statement, saying, we have done so much good, and Allah says, that action will not benefit you. All of the good actions that a person does, if he does not have the ikhlas to Allah alone, the tawheed, then what will happen to those actions? They will not benefit him in the akhirah. They will bring no benefit to the person, and he will not enter the paradise. He will abide in the fire. And the scholars, they say that a person who commits shirk with Allah, whatever good deeds he does, it will bring benefit to him in this world. If he does good to others, he's kind to others, it will bring him benefit in this world. But it will not bring him any success or any benefit on the Day of Judgment. And the reason behind that, one of the scholars, he mentioned that Tawheed of Allah is the primary basis that will carry our actions forward to be acceptable by Allah. Otherwise, we're going in the wrong direction. Like a person, when he's going on a train, he can do sins, he can sit in the wrong cabin, he can sit in the wrong seat, but he has to be going in the right direction. But if somebody is going in the wrong direction, no matter how many good things he does to his cabin members, and he's nice to them, and he sits in the right seat, but he's going the wrong way. So he's not going to reach his destination. So likewise, a person who is committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not going to Allah with his actions, he's going in the wrong direction. His actions will not be accepted by Allah because he's doing them for other than Allah. His sincerity is not for Allah. He's doing them for people, to show off in front of people. Or he's doing them for some things that he worships besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these actions, they will bring him benefit only in the world, but not in the akhirah. They will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that Allah azza wa jal in this ayah, he's responding to the words of the Quraysh, who say that we do so much good for the Hujjaj, isn't this something good that we deserve reward for? But in fact, Allah says, it is not appropriate, it is inappropriate for those who have other intentions than for Allah to build and occupy the houses of Allah azza wa jal. And so their actions will be laid to waste. Their actions will bring them no fruit with Allah azza wa jal. And also we see from these verses, we see some important lessons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. And what happened is, this verse is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah, as you know, is also called Surah Al-Bara'ah, where the Prophet ﷺ and Allah, the treaty was cancelled between them and the mushrikeen. And so this verse is also showing those mushrikeen whose treaty has been cancelled, the Quraysh, that they have no authority over the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the wisdom why it was placed in Surah At-Tawbah, that they have no authority, they don't deserve to be in the service of the Kaaba while they bear witness to shirk with Allah azza wa jalla. Also we find in this verse some important lessons, which is that a person who comes to the house of Allah, or who wishes to build the house of Allah, either physically or spiritually, as we mentioned the two meanings, to build it physically by building its walls, by building its foundation and supporting it, or by coming to the house of Allah and worshipping and performing salah, they have to do this with ikhlas for Allah azza wa jal. It is not appropriate. This is not the reason, the masajid for Allah azza wa jal. There should be no partner, no shirk with Allah, whether that is shirk of worshipping idols or seeking other than the true, the sincerity to Allah. This is called shirk al-asghar. When one does something for other than Allah, this is called shirk al-asghar. So we learn from these ayahs that it is not appropriate for those to build the house of Allah if they're not doing it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sincerity is an important condition. And also we see from this ayah that from the ways of building the houses of Allah are by building physical walls, but also by spiritual and things that are not only physically building, but also cleaning the houses of Allah. Cleaning the masjid is a type of imara. And visiting them and having lessons and halaqat in the masajid, this is also a type of reviving and giving life to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also preventing anything that is not appropriate from taking place in the house of Allah. If people, they wish to come to the house of Allah to do things that are to make them busy with the dunya, this is not appropriate. This is not from building the houses of Allah, but this is taking away from their status. It's not appropriate. Even as you know, the one hadith, a man came to the masjid and he started calling out, "Did anybody see my lost camel?" And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "May you never find it." And then he said this because it's not appropriate. People are in the dhikr of Allah. They came to the house of Allah to learn and to be in an environment of khashiyah of Allah, to be devoted to Allah. Yet, when people come and they talk about the dunya, "Did you see this lost item that I had?" It takes them away from that status of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the imara, or the building of the houses of Allah, has to be physically as well as spiritually. And the building of the houses of Allah, it has to be done with ikhlas, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cannot be done for any other reason than that. Okay, so we'll look at a few of the lessons or a few of the rulings that we find in these ayat. Allah says, عِمَارَ مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمَرُوا يَعْمَرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. As again, the majority of the ulama, they say that it means both meanings. It's not appropriate for those who have shirk with Allah to physically build the masjid or to spiritually occupy the house of Allah. It's not appropriate. The masajid should be devoted sincerely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although some scholars, they said it refers only to the physical aspect. That what was meant by the ayah is that it's not appropriate for the mushrikeen to physically build it, the house of Allah, to maintain it. And other scholars, they said, no, it's only the spiritual meaning, like taking care of the house of Allah. But the majority of scholars, they say it carries both meanings. That sincerity has to be in all aspects. Those who come and visit the house of Allah, who are overseeing its caretaking, and those who are building it as well. But then we have the question, when we build masjids, especially over here in the West, what happens when we need to build a masjid? Is it allowed for a non-Muslim to go and build the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Somebody who doesn't believe in Allah or a mushrik, Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمَرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. So it is not appropriate for the non-Muslims to build the houses of Allah. So is it allowed to have non-Muslims come and build parts of the masjid? Is that allowed or not? The scholars, they actually said that it is allowed for them to build the masjids as long as they have no authority over it. They can be under the authority of the Muslims. The Muslims, they tell them, build this part of the wall. They can be used as workers. But what is meant by the ayah is they shouldn't build the masjid and have authority over it. It's not appropriate for a non-Muslim to build a masjid and then say to some Muslims, you're allowed to worship here, but we have authority over it. This is what is being forbidden in the ayah. But if the non-Muslim is a worker, he's simply taking care of certain jobs in the masjid, then this would be allowed. Scholars say that he is allowed to use him, but as long as the wilayah, the authority belongs to the believers. This is what the ayah is teaching us. Also, we see in this ayah an important lesson, which is Allah says, "Masajid Allah." مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمَرُوا مَسَاجِد. And masajid is the plural of the word masjid. So it would have been sufficient if Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, "Masjid Allah," because as you saw, this was referring to the Quraysh and was referring to the Kaaba. But Allah said, "Masajid Allah," which means all of the houses of Allah, so that the ruling, it includes all of the houses of Allah. It's not just the Kaaba, where it's not appropriate for the mushrikeen and people who do not have ikhlas to Allah to occupy those houses, but it is for all of the houses of Allah. Any masjid of Allah, the people who occupy it, who oversee it, who take care of it, who build it, all of them, they have to have in mind that they are doing it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to show off, not for any personal benefit, not to have their name written on the door, but it should be for Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is another important lesson that we learn from the ayah. And also, finally, what we see in this ayah is that the building of the houses of Allah by the mushrikeen will not bring them any benefit in the afterlife. And this is because Allah says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we will go to their actions on the Day of Judgment, referring to those who had any other intention, any shirk with Allah, and we will make it as if it was scattered particles. هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. As if it is seeds that are scattered away. Those good actions that they did will go away from them. They will have no benefit because they had a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the foundation of every believer's action is ikhlas. The foundation. No matter how much good a person has done, if they did not have ikhlas to Allah and they committed any type of shirk with Allah, then all of those actions, no matter how great a big mountain it was, it will become like scattered particles. On the Day of Judgment, it will bring them no benefit. No benefit at all. And one interesting thing, one of the scholars, he said, we can understand why the mushrik person, or somebody who disbelieved in Allah, even if he had so many good deeds, then he will be punished in the Akhirah. But they said, why is it that he abides eternally in the hellfire? Maybe he did so many bad deeds, but why is it that he has the eternity in the hellfire? And so this scholar, he said, you imagine that everything in the world, or you know that everything in the world is bearing witness to the Tawheed of Allah. Every particle in the world is bearing witness to the Tawheed of Allah. Every star in the sky is bearing witness to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody who goes and he commits shirk with Allah, then he is wronging everything in the universe. He's wronging everything in the universe. He's calling everything in the universe is bearing witness to the Tawheed of Allah. He's calling all of them liars. He's wronging them by saying that they are not. He's rejecting the witness that they're giving. So because of that, all of these particles, all of these things in the universe will have a right on him on the Day of Judgment. They'll say, you said that Allah was not one, but we would bear witness to that. They would give shahada against them. So all of these particles, if you imagine the vastness of the universe, all of that to be accounted for would lead to a long time to be punished for that in the hellfire. But why in eternity? And why should he abide forever? They say that after all of these particles have given witness against the person who made shirk, then what about Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who lives forever, the Lord of the universe? He wronged Allah Azza wa Jalla, who lives forever, and so this is as if he deserves the eternal punishment. Not only did he wrong and reject all of those who bore witness to Allah's oneness, he rejected the infinite, Allah Himself. So this is one of the reasons why shirk will cause a person to lose all of their good deeds. Also, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, what we learn from this hadith is that the masajid should have high status with the believers. يُعَظِّمُونَ We should, the Muslims, they should have high status with the masajid of Allah. As Allah says, for the believers, they are the ones who should honor the houses of Allah, because they bear witness to the oneness of Allah and they establish prayer. And establishing prayer, iqam as-salah, is different. Allah didn't say if'al as-salah. He said iqam as-salah. Establish the prayer. And what is the difference between do the prayer and establish the prayer? Scholars, they say that establishing the prayer, it means to perform the prayer with all of its shurut, to perform it perfectly, with perfect wudu, with the khushu'a, with it on its proper time, in its appropriate place. And this is called establishing the prayer, making it established in its perfect form. So Allah doesn't want us to only come and pray in the house of Allah neglectfully and unmindfully, but He wants us to establish the salah, which means, and the salah is the most important pillar in Islam after the shahadatain. So you see the importance of the masjid, that it is a place where we can establish the ubudiyyah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah says, وَإِيْتَى الزَّكَاةِ And the believers, they give the zakah, and they don't have khashya except for Allah. Their khashya is only for Allah. Their only fear is Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they build the houses of Allah with sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And also we see finally from this hadith that the purpose of anybody building a masjid, it should not be for showing off. It should not be for showing off. Not to brag in front of people, but it should only be to serve the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to share in the sadaqah jariyah, to share in the great reward of building one of the houses of Allah. As you know, what the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever built a house and a masjid, then Allah will build for him a house in paradise. Whoever builds a masjid, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, even if it's a small, in the narration, even if it's a small masjid, Allah will build for him a house in paradise. So certainly there is a great reward for building the houses of Allah, and also in establishing the spiritual building of the house of Allah. The walls without the actions will not be sufficient. This is why Allah used the word ya'maru. Imara means physically and spiritually. Filling the house of Allah with His dhikr, with knowledge, with worship, and also building it physically. This is what is appropriate for the believers. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to establish the houses of Allah in a way that is pleasing to Him. So this is all that we have for the lesson today. There was one other question that is asked oftentimes, is that if the masjid was built by, say, a non-Muslim government, or if it was built by a riba-based loan, for example, is it allowed to pray in those masajid? And the scholars, they say, there's nothing wrong with praying in those masajid. There's no harm in that. You know, a person can perform his prayers in those masajid. And so we ask Allah to give us the beneficial knowledge and follow it, inshallah ta'ala. And that's all a short lesson for today. If there's any questions, you're welcome to ask, inshallah. Also, the sisters, you can send up any questions if you have. Yes, please.
Any point on chatting inside masjid,
for example, right. Jazakallah, very good. Chatting inside of the masjid on the worldly things is considered makruh. It's something that's disliked because it will make a person forget about the khashiyah of Allah and the dhikr of Allah, especially if it distracts other people from having the khashiyah of Allah. So speaking about the dunya is disliked. It's better to avoid that and to as much as possible in the masjid. Any other questions? Inshallah.
You have said establishing a prayer.
Yes, iqam is salah. Yeah.
With all sincerity, devotion. But if only one person do the prayer, if some other neighbors are included,
it
is not establishing.
Right, the iqam salah. If people join the person and they don't have the same sincerity in the prayer, is this what you mean?
No, I mean it is like this, the masjid. Only I come.
Right.
But my family members, others, or surrounding neighbors are not coming. Right. If we tell them to come, that is, it is what kind of establishing? That is. In total, that is a major portion coming.
Right. That is also yes, establishing the prayer, that's a good point, is that the community should all be involved in the prayer. It shouldn't just be only certain people, but certainly to perform the prayer properly, that every person should be invited to the house of Allah, and especially for the men, it's 27 times greater reward to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But iqam as-salah, the scholars they say, is perfecting the prayer, perfecting all the aspects of the prayer, making the sajda completely. You know, not like the bird pecks, but making each portion of the prayer with stillness, and having the khushu'a, having the humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling all of the shurut of the prayer, facing the qibla properly, not looking around in the prayer, not thinking about the dunya during the prayer. This is the difference between iqam as-salah wa if'al as-salah, doing the prayer and establishing the prayer. So we have to make an effort to establish the prayer in a way that is, this is the most important ibadah of the believers. It's the pillar of the deen. And so much so that the ulama, they all agree that a person who abandons the prayer, he is at the very least a major sinner, fasiq. Even Imam Ahmed, he went so far, he said he's not even Muslim. Imam Ahmed, he said if somebody, he abandons the prayer, then he's no longer even Muslim. So it's such an important part of Islam, and part of the important role of the masjid. And it's the most important role of having the masajid is so that we can establish the salah. And it's very sad predicament when you see many of the masajid, unfortunately, only on Friday there's people in the masjid. The rest of the week you go there, and nobody to be found in the masjid. So this is really a sad state, and the brother, he made a good point, that we have to invite people to establish the salah. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions? Ahaba. Yes, the prayer for the ladies, there's two hadith, which the one is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the best prayer of the woman is that one, the prayer in her house. But there's another hadith that said that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not prevent the female servants of Allah from attending the houses of Allah. So the scholars, they say that if the woman prays at home, this is better for her, because it's away from fitna. If she goes out, especially all the time, then this will lead to could be a cause of some fitna. But in the West, the ulama, they say that if there's gatherings of knowledge, especially fard ayn, knowledge, purification, prayer, then it's very important that the women attend. And they should be encouraged to attend the durus and the classes of knowledge. You know, they should be given that opportunity, and they should be encouraged to do that. to learn the knowledge, especially in the West, because where else are the women going to learn about the religion? So they should be encouraged. That's the not a correct understanding to say that the prayer of a woman is better in her home, so she should never come to the masjid. That's not correct. She should come and attend the classes of knowledge and benefit from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sakallahu khair. Inshallah. Any other last questions? Okay, yes. Yes. Oh, okay. For a non-Muslim, they help a Muslim? Okay, very good. Yes, this is what the topic of our session today. If a non-Muslim helps a Muslim to build a mosque, he will get his reward in this world. Allah will reward him in this world. He will get the benefit of his good action in this world. But in the Day of Judgment, because that non-Muslim, he didn't believe in Allah, he rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then he will not have a reward with Allah. Because believing in Allah sincerely and only believing in Allah with no one else, this has to be the precondition for any reward, any of our actions being accepted. Right? You have to have the sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. If you have other intentions, then Allah will not accept that action. The person, he doesn't have that action. So the best thing, if the non-Muslim, if he wants to help the masjid, teach him about Islam, and then he can get the reward in both worlds if he accepts Islam. Jazakallah khairan. And maybe a related question also is, can a non-Muslim enter the masjid? And we have many examples in the time of the Prophet ﷺ where they entered the masjid. For example, the hadith of Thumama, who was a mushrik, and the Prophet ﷺ had him tied in the masjid until he saw the Muslims, and then he was released. And after he left, he asked to be released. When he came back and he took his shahada. So the Sahaba, they said, why didn't you take the shahada when you were tied up? We would have let you go earlier. He said, I wanted to do it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I didn't want you to think I'm taking my shahada just to get out of the ropes. So he came back and he took his shahada. And so that coming, being in the house of Allah, was a means of his hidayah. And also we have the Christians of Najran, part of the Arabian Peninsula. They came and they stayed in the masjid, and they had tents. And the Prophet ﷺ himself made sure that they were served properly. They had food and drink. So having the non-Muslims should be done, should be allowed if they need to come and learn, but with the appropriate adab, where they should respect the masjid of Allah. Some of the ulama, they say that they cannot enter without the permission of a Muslim. They shouldn't just come freely, but there should be a Muslim who accompanies them, so that they shouldn't enter that without the accompaniment of a Muslim. But they can come, and it's important for them to learn and have an opportunity to see and learn about Islam, inshallah. Okay, inshallah. If there's no other questions, jazakumullah khairan. Oh, looks like. MashaAllah. We have a messenger here, MashaAllah. Beautiful messenger, mashaAllah. From the sisters, may Allah reward her. She said, our masjid is a type of community center. It is okay for people to socialize. If we stop the youth from talking, this causes them to stop coming. Isn't it better to allow them to talk? Yes, speaking about the dunya and the worldly things is makruh, it's not haram. It's not forbidden to do that. And especially if the people have a good intention, which is to put the love and, you know, bring the love between one another, then certainly this is something that is, there's no harm in that. The karaha is if people are coming to worship and then they're distracting people from the dhikr of Allah and taking them away. But if you have youth, for example, somebody comes and he doesn't come that often, you talk to him, how are you doing, how's school going, so you try to make him and attract him to Islam. So this is also, the speech has a good intention with it. You couldn't really call that dunya talk. But dunya is like if you come to the masjid and the two brothers, they start talking about, what stocks did you buy today? Say, how much did you make? Oh, I sold this trade today, I made a lot of money. And so that kind of talk, that's like, you know, taking a person away. But if you socialize with people, especially to attract them, the Prophet ﷺ was a very sociable person. He wasn't antisocial. The masjid is not a place where people don't talk. It's being social is part of Islam, but it shouldn't be to the point where it takes people away from the dhikr of Allah. It could be an act of worship. When you talk to one another, as you know, even a smile is sadaqah. Right? When you smile at your brother in the masjid, is sadaqah. So with that intention, inshallah, there's no haraj. That's good for to encourage the youth to come. But even better to make the conversations about knowledge, and then it will even have more reward and help and teach the youth and encourage them to learn. InshaAllah ta'ala. So that's a very good question. Allah will reward you, sister. Barakallahu feek. Khair, inshaAllah. Any other last questions? صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير الله يرضى عليكم